thankful for those through the years who wrote those songs that we have in our church hymnals. Some of them have wonderful meaning. Some of them are so moving. I was thinking this morning during the song service, the song that Brother Strode led, "My Jesus, I Love Thee." And the writer in that song really, I thought, did a great job describing the love of God towards us as opposed to our love towards Him. And if you pay close attention to the lyrics of that song, he said things such as, "I love thee for wearing the crown of thorns, for wearing the thorn on thy brow, and I love thee because thou hast first loved me." And that's the way that it is with us. We love the Lord because of what He has done for us. The 116th Psalm says, "I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications." But the love that Jesus has towards us is not based upon anything that we did for Him. He just loves us. That is true. That is true. That is agape love. That is true, unconditional love. He just loves us because He loves us. And I'm thankful for the love of God. I'm thankful that He shed it abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost when He saved me. Amen. And He allows us to be able to love one another. It's good to be here today and appreciate the good singing. And I want to ask for your prayers. I want to call your attention to some scripture found that should be very familiar to most Bible readers in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. I want to speak to you today about faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 1, says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh." Now that's a tough thing to accomplish, isn't it? Being dead and yet speaking. "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." The title of my message today is taken from a statement that Jesus made, and I'll share that here in a moment, from the 11th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. And that statement is, "Have faith in God." Have faith in God. The epistle to the Hebrews, because there was no name given, many have had various opinions as to who actually wrote this epistle. But I just want to say this today, that the writer of this epistle to the Hebrews went to great lengths in this letter to show to the Hebrews and to everyone who would read this how important that it is to exercise faith in God. Now, we have seen in this 11th chapter of Hebrews, and contained within the verses that I have already read, we see that the writer here defined faith as being the substance of the things that we hope for and the evidence or the proving of things not seen. That was how he defined faith. In the sixth verse, he made a very, very important statement about faith. And he said that without it, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, as children of God, faith is not just something that is supposed to, having faith in God is not just something that's supposed to pass by us every once in a while. It is intended for it to be the lifestyle of those who are saved. The Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. And so that is the way that we are to live our lives from day to day. Now, faith is oftentimes, I believe, misinterpreted by many in the day that we live in. And so I want to tell you today, as I try to speak about the subject of faith, of having faith in God, I want to tell you what I believe that faith truly is. Faith goes beyond the mind believing that God is able to do something. It is when the heart trusts Him to do something. When we really exercise faith in God, and honestly, I believe that we all know this, but honestly, that's where many people have gotten off track today when it comes to the salvation of their soul. They have believed that they can just have an intellectual faith in their mind and believe that Jesus did the things that the Bible says that He did. They believe they can just embrace with a mental faith that Jesus did come into the world, that He was the Son of God, that He died for their sins, that He rose from the dead. They believe they can just say, I believe these facts of the gospel. I believe that Jesus really did these things, and so I'm saved. But that's not faith. That is not saving faith. It goes much beyond that. And the Apostle Paul really describes it in the 10th chapter of Romans. He said that it's with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness. And so it is trusting whatever it may be that you're asking God for, whether it's a lost person seeking Him for the salvation of their soul, or a child of God seeking God that He might reveal unto them what His will for them is, or someone praying concerning sickness for their self or for a loved one or something like that. Faith is when we put it in the hands of God, when we trust Him to take care of that. And so it's more than just believing that He can, it's trusting that He will. In the 11th chapter of Mark, in verses 22 and 23, Jesus made this statement concerning having faith in God, and He instructed His disciples to do that, to have faith in God. He said, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now that's something that was given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Those were the words of the Lord, that if we would exercise faith in God, that there would not be anything impossible for us to witness. I mean, when you think about a mountain being moved, a mountain being removed out of its place and cast into the sea, when you think about the example that Jesus used, surely he was telling them and telling us that with God, there's not anything that's impossible. God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He can do all things, and there's nothing that we can ask of him that he cannot do. Now, in these verses, the Lord made a very, very important statement concerning faith. He said that he didn't just say that whatever that we would ask, that it would be granted. He said that if you were to say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart. You see, that's where it truly comes from. That's where our faith in God really comes from, is from the inward man, from our heart. Now, faith and doubt are not compatible with one another. And even a little bit of doubt will cause our prayers not to be answered, because putting our faith in God, having faith in God, means that we must do that completely, that we must completely trust in him. The word that we find often in the English translation of the Bible, the word believe, give you a very common scripture in John chapter 3, verse 16, when Jesus said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That word there in the original language in which it was written means that whoever will entrust their spiritual well-being to Christ, whoever will cling to him, whoever will totally rely upon him, shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Now, everybody that's been truly saved understands that, because we've experienced that. Everybody that has had a true conversion understands that we had to trust the Lord with all of our heart in order to be saved. You know, faith is, exercising faith in God brings about wonderful blessings. And, you know, many years ago, I think it was 1984, I was just a very young preacher, had been preaching about 3 years, and I was asked to do a devotional during the Old Union Minister School. And the thought that the Lord put up on my heart and what I tried to express was how that we needed to trust in God, how that we needed to have faith in the Lord. And I remember trying to use this example of someone of riding with someone somewhere in their car and them being the driver. And if you get into someone's car to ride with them, if you really truly have confidence in that person, if you really and truly trust them, then you can relax. You can sit back and you can ride and you can just relax. But if you don't, you're going to ride with them and you're going to be nervous and you're going to be apprehensive and you're going to be anxious and you're going to be afraid that perhaps they will not get you safely to where you're going. And so when we really, truly put our trust in God, we're going to relax. Now, we can be extremely worried about something, and I believe that there's going to be many here today that will know exactly what I'm talking about here. But we can be extremely worried about something. We can be extremely anxious and fearful about something. And when we come to the point where we're really, truly able to turn to the Lord and fully trust in Him, we experience this great calming of the soul, don't we? We experience the removal of that worry and that fear that is within there. And I believe that gives us great witness to the fact that we have truly turned to the Lord, that we have truly placed our faith in Him, because we become confident within our soul that the Lord will take care of this. And, you know, it is just amazing and would be amazing the things that you and I would see if we would just continue to really, truly have faith in God. Easy to say, isn't it? It's easy for me today to stand before you and say, just have faith in God. But it becomes, it seems, a difficult thing for us to do. And we have examples in the Scriptures. And that's what the Hebrew writer did here after he had spoken about what faith is, about it being the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. After he had said that without faith it is impossible to please God, he begins throughout the remainder of this chapter to give example after example after example of great things that people witnessed when they truly placed their faith in the Lord. They saw miraculous things. Listen, I'm telling you, when you truly, when we truly walk by faith, listen, church, when we walk by faith, when we truly trust in the Lord, the things that bother us and the things that often cause us to give way to the devil and allow him to cause division and to wreak havoc, we won't be worried about those things if we'll really trust in the Lord. When we begin to worry and we begin to fret and we become anxious is when we've taken our eyes off of Him. And that gives the devil a real foothold when we look away from the Lord. But the writer here spoke about how that by faith Abel had offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain. It talked about how that by faith Enoch, if you could imagine such, by faith Enoch was translated. This man by faith, the Bible tells us that he walked so close to God that God just translated him, that he didn't even see death. And that was a result of faith. Faith. We read about how that Noah built the ark by faith. And he had to have faith to do that, didn't he? He had to have faith to build a huge boat. When God instructed him to build the ark, Noah had to do that work by faith, because he was told to build something that was going to deliver from something that he had never yet even seen. And so he moved by faith, did what God had told him to do. He spoke about how that by faith Abraham left his homeland there in Mesopotamia, in Ur of the Chaldees, and just went out. At the command of God, he just went out by faith, not knowing where he was going to be. You know, sometimes that's the problem. Sometimes we want everything laid out before us. Sometimes we want everything to be rational. We want everything to make sense, be logical to our minds, but that's not faith. When we exercise faith in God, we witness things that are not logical. We witness things that are far beyond the logic of the human mind. Imagine being told to just pick up and move, but not where. Abraham left there by faith, trusting that God would show him where he wanted him. The Bible tells us there in that chapter that by faith he offered up Isaac his son. God told him to take Isaac his son, the one that he had promised to him, the one that we're also told in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the one that Sarah conceived when she was too old to have a child. Isaac was born, and God told Abraham when Isaac was a young lad to take him to Moriah and to offer him up before God as a sacrifice. And Abraham was going to do it. I'll tell you, that's what I believe. I believe Abraham was going to do it. I believe we have proof that he was going to do that. If you could imagine that kind of faith in God, that he would take his son Isaac and offer him up as a sacrifice, and he took him to that place, and he had him laid out there before him, and he already had the knife drawn and was going to take his life when God said, "Don't harm him." But you know what the Bible tells us? This man had so much faith in God. He had so much trust in God that he believed that even if God allowed him to go through with that, even if he sacrificed his son Isaac, that God would raise him back up again before he ever left those men there behind. He said, "You stay here. The lad and I, we're going yonder to worship, and we'll come back." We'll come back. He was fully expecting to come back with Isaac, whether he sacrificed him or not. That was how much that he trusted in the Lord. I love to read about Elijah. Elijah the prophet, man of great faith. There was a time when the rain was stopped. In Israel, there was no rain. And God told Elijah, because Ahab the king was on his trail, God told him to go and hide himself by a brook called Cherith. And he said, "I'm going to send ravens to feed you. You can drink the water from the brook, and I'm going to send ravens to bring you meat." Now, suppose that you would have passed by this prophet Elijah and said, "Where are you going?" And he said, I'm going down here to this brook." "Well, how are you going to survive?" "Well, the birds are going to come and feed me." He believed it. He trusted it. He went. He went there, and besides that, there was no rain that was coming, so surely it must have been in his mind that this water in this brook wasn't going to be there forever, but yet he went. He just trusted in the Lord and did what God had told him to do, and God did exactly what he said he would. He sent the ravens to feed him. He had the water from the brook. When it did dry up, God told him to go to Zarephath, to the house of a widow that he had commanded a widow woman to sustain him there. And he just went. He just went. He got there and found out that she didn't have anything to sustain him with. Had enough meal and enough oil to make one last meal for her and her son before they died. But it didn't shake Elijah at all. He just said, well, make me something first. I'll tell you what, that woman had faith too, didn't she? That woman had great faith in God. She made him something to eat. And the Bible tells us that the meal and the oil did not fail them until things got better. And so, listen, we must remember that God is omnipotent. We must remember and never lose sight of the fact that God is all-powerful, that with Him there's nothing that's impossible. Do we serve the same God that Elijah did? Do we serve the same God today that Noah served when he was building the ark? Do we hear the voice of the same one today that Abraham heard in Mesopotamia when God told him to pick up and leave his homeland and leave his father's house and to go out to a place where God would afterwards show him? Do we serve and know the same God today that they did? Has he changed? Has he lost any power? The Bible says in, I believe, the third chapter of Malachi, he said, I am the Lord and I change not. I change not. God hasn't lost any power. And the Apostle Paul wrote and said that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. Now, I'm going to tell you something from personal experience. And I don't believe for a minute that I'm the only one here that can testify to this very fact. Every single time in my life, when I have put my full trust in the Lord for something, He has never let me down. God has never failed me. When I was seeking Him for the salvation of my soul, when my heart really trusted Him, He saved me with an everlasting salvation. And I'm going to say this today to you that are here that are still lost. This may be hard for you to hear, but I want you to know the truth today, because I don't want you to become discouraged. Those of you who have been seeking, have been up here on the mourner's bench praying, or have been at your seat praying, I want you to know something. God wants to save you. He wants to save you. And the reason that you're not saved is because you have not fully trusted in the Lord. Don't ever think that God doesn't want to save you. And you may feel like you have. You may be persuaded in your mind that you have. But listen, the moment that your heart fully trusts in the Lord, He's going to save you. And you're going to know it. You're going to know it. God never fails. He never fails. prayer and doubt are not compatible. If we pray to God and ask Him something and doubt that He'll do it, He won't do it. He won't. But when we trust Him with all of our heart, He will grant us the desires of our heart. That's the promise given us to God in His Word. Now, you may say, well, I prayed for something and didn't get it. Well, did you pray within His will? Did you pray amiss? James said that oftentimes we don't receive what we ask amiss. We pray wrongfully that we might consume it up on our own lust. But I'm telling you that when we pray, when we truly pray in the will of God, that whatever that we ask Him for, God delights. He delights in hearing our prayers. He delights in granting to us the desires of our heart. Listen, church, we need to pray with unfeigned faith. We need to pray not wavering. The Bible says, James said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, when these who are lost are seeking the Lord, they need to pray and trust God with all their heart. Church, when we're praying for them, when we are interceding with God in their behalf, we need to pray to Him the same way. We need to trust Him. Revival has always been preceded by somebody praying and putting their faith in the Lord. You still believe in the Lord? Is your life surrendered to Him? You know what? It shouldn't be hard. It shouldn't be hard for the church. You know why? Because we've already been given evidence. We've been given evidence. We already know what it means to trust the Lord. We already know what can happen when we do trust the Lord. He has already shown us that. We already know, those of us that have been born again of His Spirit, we already know what can happen and what will happen when we turn to Him with all of our heart, when we really trust Him. We know what God will do because He did it. And so it shouldn't be difficult for us to trust Him in other ways, should it? But it is. We see example after example in the Bible. Elijah was one of them. Elijah, I don't know if I'll ever fully understand what happened other than he just became weak. But he had obeyed God and he had witnessed the ravens bringing him food to the brook. He had witnessed how God fed him and sustained him through the widow woman. And then he ran from a wicked woman and hid. He became afraid of Jezebel and he ran and he hid himself. John the Baptist, a man of great faith. We read that After he had already introduced the Lord Jesus as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, we read about him in prison And he sent two of his disciples to Jesus to ask them, are you the one that is to come, or do we need to look for another? We allow ourselves, I believe, to just be weak. But I'll tell you what, if you'll trust in the Lord, you will see unimaginable things. The 11th chapter of Hebrews, as I said, gives example after example after example of things that people witnessed when they truly exercise faith in God. Know what I'm talking about? Has God ever answered a prayer for you? Has God ever taken care of something in your life that there was a time when you just couldn't have imagined how you would get through it? Has God ever come and taken that fear and worry and dread out of your heart and just allowed you to relax when your heart trusted in Him? It's great, isn't it? It's peaceful in the arms of the Lord. Have faith in God. He never fails. Brother Strode, thank you for your attention. If you've got a need today, the Lord can supply it. If you're lost today in need of salvation, the Lord can give it. If you're saved today and need something in your life, if you need to get rid of something that will help you in your walk with God, if you'll just trust the Lord, He can take it away. He can take it away. I invite anybody today that feels the need of prayer. If you need grace today, if you need grace to get through something, if you'll trust the Lord, He'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. I invite anybody today that needs to seek the Lord for whatever the reason to come and seek Him.
Prayer is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door. Number 113 in the Heavenly Highway Hymn. 113. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thy changes not, thy compassion they fail not. As thy hast been, thy forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness. To thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto thee. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto thee.